earned through his work ethic, through his performance, is not immune to that. So you know that if you're out there hurting and you're feeling these ways, even the best of us, even the ones with what we would think are the highly benefited of us, they still deal with emotional and mental trauma. Yes.
Yeah, I gotta go bathe in holy water every time I finish tweeting you, so ain't no telling what she gotta do.
Well, I mean, I know the first problem you have with that is the bathing part.
They're not gonna have a choice. Where are you shading help? Left, right? You can. You just
can.
And if you play single high, when's the funeral?
The Amari Cooper slants and the sluggos, they're gonna be pouring out of the sky.
It's a wrap.
So Pat used to always come up with his headlines, and I would just basically, sometimes I would even do it just to be an asshole. And I would basically tell him, nah, that headline isn't going to work. Do better. Come up with something better just to see what else he can come up with.
Talk.
All right. You are now rocking with the best. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond, along with my co-host, my man, 1,000 grand, the one and only voice of the star, Mr. Patrick Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Catch This Fade. KD, man, you got to take that hat off, though, man. That's not how we rock around here.
Bruh, listen. The glaring audacity of you to be rocking all of that choke gear when we're starting the Cowboys season is unacceptable.
No, we don't represent chokers here.
Listen, we represent champions.
No. I'm starting off the Cowboys season commemorating a 29-point bombing of an opposition. So basically what I'm doing is I'm giving the Cowboys mojo to go out and do the same against the Los Angeles Rams. This is good energy right now. You got to absorb this into your DNA and RNA.
Listen, I appreciate the 29-point outburst that the Braves did. It was against the Marlins.
No, you don't.
I mean, you know, at least when we scored, you know, that many runs, it was against the Mets. I understand we're having a tough season right now, but everybody knows this is an asterisk season. Everybody knows who the reigning world champions are. We actually going to have a 2-year reign. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens this year.
From beneath the tree. Okay.
All right, look, we're here to talk about Cowboys football. We're not here to talk about this guard. Can you please take that mask off? Because
I'll take it off because I'm in my abode fedora right now, and I don't have to worry about social distancing.
I appreciate wearing a mask. I do, and everybody needs to be out there wearing a mask until this thing is long gone. Let's go ahead and protect each other, protect ourselves. Let's do the bare minimum, and that's staying away from each other, wash your hands, and wearing a mask. Please listen to this advice. Just wear the damn mask.
Just wear the damn mask.
It's simple. Okay, so let's go ahead and break down the show. We're going to have a really exciting show for everybody. We're going for the full length. If you're listening on the free platform, we're going to cut you off. We're going to let you know that we do have the Patreon platform, patreon.com/catchthisfade. That's where you're going to be able to get in with all of our episodes in their entirety, a couple times a week, a couple different tiers that you can be a subscriber on. The lowest tier will get you every single podcast, the audio version. The higher tiers will get you the video that we're broadcasting now. This kind of crazy to do. It's also going to get you the bonus content, the morning minutes, all of those sorts of things we're going to be having on the higher platform, the higher tier for subscribers. So basically get in where you fit in. You're not going to be without us, but you are going to be missing out on some outstanding dynamic content. But for this show, we're commemorating the start of the 2020 NFL season. There's a lot to talk about. So we're going to try to jam some of it in now. But overall, please don't forget, subscribe, patreon.com/catchthisfade. Join us. You will not regret it. It's going to be one of the safest and smartest investments that you're going to make. All right. So a lot of big news is going on. We heard today we got a revised practice schedule from Coach McCarthy. He's doing things a little bit differently than what Jason Garrett did. Thursday is as far as the schedule goes, yeah, he's doing a lot of things differently.
to be more succinct.
Yeah, exactly. The schedule is Thursdays is a big practice day. Fridays are going to basically take the foot off the pedal. And then Saturday, they're going to be doing another practice, basically a one-hour practice where they're going to try to basically get the team in the right mindset to have their bodies going for what happens on Sunday on game day. So we've seen a lot of differences in how McCarthy has done things, just basically on how he's kept the media at bay, how he's tried to plug up a lot of the minor leaks that the Cowboys have for decades been known for. Basically, you know, everybody knows everything about the Cowboys. Jerry Jones has had them front and center. All publicity is good publicity type of mentality. And McCarthy's tried to walk some of that back. But it's been a pretty interesting change compared to what we've seen in years past.
Right. And I mean, when it comes to McCarthy, this obviously is just more evidence of the paradigm shift that's occurring here in Dallas. I mean, he has literally gone in and just basically looked at everything that was not working and everything that he feels that can be done better, be more productive, be more progressive, be more efficient. And he's not wasted any time in getting these changes installed. And you look at, you know, comments that he made, basically the difference, for example, in the Garrett era versus the new start of the McCarthy regime can be more or less paraphrased in him being willing to admit that this is, in fact, a Super Bowl or bust season for the Cowboys, which you and I both know, as everyone knows, when you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, every single season is Super Bowl or bust. But he's not coming in talking about, you know, trust the process and, you know, two lemonade discussions. I mean, he's bringing the whole gallon of lemonade. He wants it all, and he wants it right now. And you got to love what's going on with Dallas right now, because there's not a stone that he's leaving unturned when it comes to morphing this into McCarthy's version of the Dallas Cowboys. And I mean, it's exciting going forward. And obviously, you're always going to have some level of excitement when a new coach comes in, especially if the old coach was very long in the tooth, for lack of a better way to put it. So the new coach is always going to inject an energy simply because it's change and people like change. Sometimes it's not always good change, but it's change nonetheless. We can honestly say, based upon everything we're seeing thus far, and obviously we still got a ton of football to play right, to figure out how this all sorts itself out. But nothing McCarthy has said coming in his initial press conference, nothing has gone without some type of evidential movement between then and now. You look at how the team approached free agency, fast forward to this conversation. Now we're talking about how they're altering practices. McCarthy, speaking of practice, he wanted to do more practices outdoors, whereas Jason Garrett preferred to do them indoors at the Ford Center. Didn't necessarily work out how McCarthy wanted, simply because the heat here in Texas was unbearable this July and this August. But, I mean, like I said, no stones being left unturned. You got to love what McCarthy is bringing, and not from a stance of, you know, hyperbolic speak and simply saying, oh, well, this is the year. I mean, that's fun to say, but from an analytic standpoint, from an analysis standpoint, this really feels like a Cowboys team, where you look at McCarthy's changes, you look at his the coaching staff that falls under the changes, you look at Dak Prescott being in another contract year, Jerry Jones looking to have relented more power to McCarthy. That's why someone like Earl Thomas is not here just yet, maybe not ever. So just good times rolling in Dallas right now, despite the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. He has a lot. Ben McCarthy has a lot up against him right now. No mini camp. Team was not able to begin their offseason program on April 6th as, you know, originally slated. Minimal padded practices in August. No preseason. So he, as well as other teams, but particularly those teams with new head coaches, they're up against it right now. But when you compare McCarthy against those other teams who have new head coaches, you're talking about the Giants, you're talking about the Panthers, you're talking about the Washington football team. No knock to Ron Rivera, a proven guy, fantastic character guy, one of the few guys in Washington right now that actually has character above reproach. But I just look at this division and I just don't see, barring some type of monumental collapse at some point, I just don't see how anybody in the NFC East contends with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned lemonade, and lemonade was a popular drink, and it still is. But I really need to make the transition compared to what you said at the end there about the difficulty that they're going to have basically traversing the terrain of having no offseason. I think that that is the one portion. We're going to get into a second portion, but that is a primary portion of this entire ordeal that I think is the unknown. We know what Mike McCarthy can do. We know what this Cowboys roster and the amount of talent that it has, what it can do. But whether or not he had enough time to implement everything he wanted to in this offseason, I think is the biggest unknown about where the Cowboys can go in this season. But one thing that's not an unknown is the quality of play that they're going to get out of their right guard, Zach Martin. This week, the Cowboys did a simple move. They basically pulled a trigger on something that's involved in almost all of their contracts, the ability to restructure a year, multiple years, in order to give themselves additional salary cap space for that season. And what happened was basically Zach Martin was scheduled to make $11 million this year in base salary. Base salary is basically spread out across, normally it's spread out across the 17 weeks of the season, but because of the new CBA, they're actually extending that so you get paid over a longer stretch, not just only when the season is going on. But regardless, that $11 million was going to be his, spread out over equal payments. So what the Cowboys did was they restructured that deal to where it was only $1 million of base salary, but they gave him what's called a restructure bonus of $10 million. And the restructure bonus basically works the same way that a signing bonus does. It's given to a player in one lump sum, unless something else is agreed. They might spread it out over 2 years, but most of the time it's one lump sum at the time of the signing or at the time of the restructure, but it's spread out across the life of the contract up to 5 years. So Zach Martin, including 2020, has 5 years left on his contract. So that $10 million, as far as cap hit goes, is spread out equally across those 5 years. So there's a $2 million hit this year, $2 million next year, $2 million the following year, so on and so forth, until the $10 million is taken care of. So what that does is it changes the amount of that cap hit. Instead of the $11 million in base salary, it's now the $1 million in base salary plus a $2 million that's the amortized amount of the prorated restructure bonus. So for the $11 million that was on the cap, it's now $3 million. Now everybody's saying, oh, this might be money that they're going to be using to sign Earl Thomas or, you know, use it some other constructive way. Doesn't necessarily have to be the case. They can roll over the money from this year to next year. Any unused cap from 2020 rolls over into the following season. And because we know, because we know that the 2021 cap is probably going to go down in a major way, they actually built a floor. Because of the pandemic, there's not going to be fans in the stands. There's not going to be a lot of the revenue sharing that's normally there for all of these NFL teams. The cap could go as low as $175 million. Now, that's a big deal considering that a lot of people predicted the cap next year to be as high as $215 million. So that $40 million difference is basically something that all of the teams, when they've been giving out their long-term contracts over the past several years, it's basically something that they anticipated having. So now that they're not going to have that $40 million, teams are kind of going to have to scramble. You're going to see teams basically cutting a lot of the mid-tier veterans that are making like $5 million, $6 million. Those types of things are going to happen. There are going to be a lot of other teams that are doing restructures similar to what the Cowboys have done with Tyron Smith and now with Zach Martin in order to create some extra wiggle room, basically pushing things off into the future when the cap is expected to recover based on hopefully fans returning to the stands sometime soon. So because of that amount of money that they have to basically account for next year when the cap is going to drop, they're preparing ahead. They're creating cap room this year that they're going to roll over into next year and take care of it. Now, I've seen a lot of places where they talked about the Cowboys' $8 million worth of cap space is going to roll over to next year, and it's going to create $8 million worth of cap space next year. That's not the case, because remember that $10 million was separated five times. So $2 million went on this year. $2 million went on next year. So their expected bill for 2021 is now $2 million higher. So when that $8 million rolls over, you have to take away that $2 million, and now you're sitting at $6 million in additional space. But it's not just that, because the Cowboys are most likely going to have to continue to create room. So what they're going to do is they're going to reduce that Martin money for next year's salary, most likely, and probably a couple other players, to basically keep rolling along and create this extra room, because they have to figure out how they're going to be able to pay Dak Prescott. The team can negotiate with him right now, but they cannot come to a firm agreement. They cannot agree to any deal officially, but they can sit behind the desk and say, hey, next year we're going to sign for this $40 million and so on and so forth. And we'll do a whole it's very key, because they can basically make the parameters of the deal and just not make it official. So they know what level they have to get to as far as how much cap space they're going to make. And in the worst case scenario, if Dallas doesn't reach an agreement with Dak Prescott, a gentleman's agreement or an official agreement between the end of the league year in January or February, hopefully for the Cowboys in February, and then the start of the new league year in mid-March, the Cowboys are going to have to franchise tag Dak Prescott again. And that number is going to come in at $36.9 million on a much lower salary cap than what anybody ever anticipated. And they don't have the money to do that right now. They can get there through these restructures. And that's part of what they're doing, is building the case, taking a little bit of extra room now, planning for some extra room next year, so that even in the worst case scenario that they don't work out a deal, they'll have enough space so they can franchise Dak Prescott again. So while the Cowboys are sitting here preparing for the season, 3 days left until countdown, until kickoff, when they take on the Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Rams. The front office is still, I had to stammer and stutter over it because that's how Jared Goff is going to look on the field on Sunday night.
Well played.
The front office is going to also be doing their due diligence to get the Cowboys prepared, not just for the rest of the season, but for the seasons in advance. So kudos to them for doing these moves. A little bit of explanation behind the mindset of how they're going through and why they're doing this. It doesn't have to be about Earl Thomas. It could be used for Dak Prescott. Most likely will be used for Dak Prescott, spinning everything forward.
And fantastic breakdown for those that didn't understand how the salary cap worked and why the Cowboys were restructuring Martin after they restructured Tyron Smith. Now, if you look at it from an Earl Thomas standpoint, I know the timing of it, and I reported when it happened in August, the timing of it looked a bit fortuitous for the Cowboys that, you know, here they are restructuring the contract on Smith around the same time that the Ravens choose to let go. And did the Cowboys have foresight that the Ravens were going to make that move? I said at the time that the restructuring on Tyron Smith had nothing to do with Earl Thomas. Now here we are, two or three days away from kickoff, and guess what? Earl Thomas is still a free agent. So now everyone's trying to, you know, connect the dots from Martin to Earl Thomas. Well, I've spoken with several individuals, several sources on the situation, and they confirm, much like the restructuring on Tyron Smith, the restructuring for Zach Martin's deal has nothing to do with Earl Thomas. Now, let me put a caveat here. Now that the Cowboys are floating at around $17.5 million in salary cap space, they know that in an emergency situation over the course of the season, be it September, October, you know, what have you, they have the space as it stands to bring in someone like Earl Thomas or maybe another veteran, depending on maybe injury at a particular position, poor play at a particular position. But unless that happens, I have confirmed time and again, this money is aimed at Dak Prescott's bank account. The Cowboys, like you said, they know they're going into a season where they're going to have at minimum $175 million in salary cap space. That's a $40 million swing. They're going to have to make adjustments for that. Worst case, they have to franchise tag Dak Prescott to buy more time, but that tag money is going to count against their cap unless they get a deal done by July 15th of 2021. They have to account for all of this. So, as much as, the Earl Thomas Hive would love to see the All-Pro in Dallas, I'm continually told that it is Mike McCarthy who is the gatekeeper. McCarthy is not completely sold on the fact that Thomas can come in and not be a locker room headache. So the money right now is for Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are making moves for the future. And I'll go one step further as it relates to Earl Thomas. I'm basically told more or less that if the Cowboys safeties play good, admirably, or very well against the Rams, then you probably won't see Earl Thomas or hear any of that talk in week two. Now, if they play at least admirably, the Cowboys are still hoping to, you know, see something from Brandon Carr at safety. So that's kind of in their back pocket. Jerry Jones himself said 105.3 FM The Fan this week, when he was asked about speculation on Earl Thomas, he deferred to Brandon Carr, and he said, and I'll quote, "I think we landed on our feet there." Catch the hint, ladies and gentlemen. Catch the hint. It's going to take the safety unit for the Cowboys costing them one or two games early before the Cowboys pull the trigger on someone like Earl Thomas. So fantastic breakdown on the cap situation from KD. Guys, make sure, you know, break out a pen and some paper, rewind this if you need to, because it's key that you understand the moves the Cowboys are making. They're no longer playing checkers here. You look at the Brandon Carr signing and, you know, how that broke down. I broke that down on CBSSports.com, the practice squad, the new rules, how the Cowboys are manipulating those rules in a very Bill Belichickian way. It just all goes back to the Cowboys having the foresight to know that they want Dak Prescott. Did they drop the ball this time? Yes, they dropped this. This is their second whiff at trying to get Dak Prescott. I just don't see a situation where they strike out here. I don't see a third strike. Dak Prescott said himself in an interview yesterday, in a joint interview with Ezekiel Elliott. He said that we're going to be together for a long time. That's his quote. All the Cowboys have to do is come down to 4 years because they pissed the bed. When it came to that five-year ask, if you wanted 5 years, you should have extended them before the final year of his deal expired. So that's where the salary cap is. KD did a fantastic breakdown. Rewind it and grab a notepad if you need to. But from a
a sourced information standpoint, that's where the Cowboys are with the cap, as well as the Earl Thomas speculation. So do what you will with that.
Now, one of the things that we've both clearly mentioned is the idea that this cap space is basically ticked off to be something for Dak Prescott. You mentioned Dak Prescott's interview with Ezekiel Elliott yesterday, but something that Dak Prescott spoke on that came out yesterday in a separate interview, the one-on-one with Graham Belsinger, is something that I feel must be discussed because it plays into something that is far more important than football. And I know that everybody's so excited to get football back and you're worried about these guys entertaining this on the field, but mental health for basically everybody, but specifically men and more specifically Black men, is something that rarely gets discussed. There is a stigma attached with getting mental health support that basically limits the amount of times that people reach out to get themselves help. And Prescott, in discussing when the news hit that his brother had committed suicide, his brother Jace, obviously around the draft, during the draft, we learned that Jace had passed away. We just got the revelation that it was suicide. And Dak opened up about where he was himself mentally when that happened. He referenced having dealing with a pandemic. And I think that's something that a lot of us are doing. A lot of us are kind of just making it through this new reality that the pandemic has put upon us. And if you were stressed out before, your stress levels now are probably through the roof with all of these changes. If you have kids, if you're homeschooling, if you're dealing with that, if you've been one of the unfortunate people, one of the millions of people that has lost their job or is now underemployed or their hours were cut, it's stressful. And Prescott, even with all that he's earned through his work ethic, through his performance, is not immune to that. So you know that if you're out there hurting and you're feeling these ways, even the best of us, even the ones with what we would think are, you know, the most the highly benefited of us, they still deal with emotional trauma and mental trauma. But he spoke about his anxiety and his depression, and I just thought that we should take a moment to acknowledge that, and acknowledge that with all of this going on, the craziness, that this is still something that's very real for people to deal with.
I think it's fantastic for us to have this discussion for a lot of reasons. Number one, hats off to Dak Prescott for admitting that he battled anxiety and depression following the loss of his brother Jace. It all touches on several levels of this. Obviously, mental health and mental health wellness, how important it is to make sure that if you feel what I call the dark, and I'll get into that in a moment, if you start to feel that, it's okay to seek help. It's okay to reach out to someone and have a conversation about that. It does not make you weak. It actually makes you strong. But when it comes to Dak, you look at his 2019, you know, he loses his brother Jace to suicide while entrenched in deep contract negotiations with the Cowboys. And also keep in mind, not only was he close to his brother Jace, but there's something to be said for anyone who loses a parent, particularly a parent to a terminal illness like cancer. So Dak Prescott, you know, for as wonderful as he's been managing it, in the public eye, he's still and will never completely be over the loss of his mother. So he's dealing with that as well. So kudos again to Dak Prescott for putting that out there, instantly becoming a testimony to not only those suffering with the battle against depression and anxiety, but additionally men who are, and additionally Black men who are, because like you said, generationally, as a construct, we are told that it's weak to cry. We're told it's weak to show any type of weakness or, you know, soft spot, so to speak. It's, you know, don't act like a girl is what we hear, things to that nature. So we're in 2020, folks. And on top of that, as Katie mentioned, we're in the middle, and as you well know, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. that's just ravaging the country. It's completely shifted normalcy. We're doing, you know, across the country, around the world, particularly in this country, though, we're still doing homeschooling for a lot of, you know, jurisdictions and in school districts around the country. And that's, it's strenuous on parents, because as a father, KD is a father of several kids. I'm a father of three myself. You love your kids and you're doing your best for them. But when you're working and you're trying to help them with school, it gets strenuous. And then cabin fever is a real thing as well. So when you're talking about shelter in place orders and quarantines and things like that, there's so many variables in the world right now that are attacking the mental health of everyone, And Dak Prescott coming out and admitting publicly that he battled depression, it hopefully opened some eyes as far as saying, well, you know, those who would otherwise say, oh, this guy, what does he know about struggle? You know, he makes millions of dollars playing football for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, now you know what a guy like Dak Prescott knows about struggle. Now you are starting to see what a guy like Randy Gregory was up against. And from a personal standpoint, anyone who follows me on Twitter, follows my career, you know that I am a huge, huge advocate for mental health, and more specifically, the battle against depression and the battle for suicide prevention, simply because I myself have been battling depression for over a decade now. And I say continually, because you never really win the battle on the whole. You win the day. You win that day. I'm also a survivor of two separate suicide attempts. Thankfully, nothing recently, and to be frank, nothing since my oldest son, who's now 16, nothing since he was born. You'll be amazed how children adjust your line of sight for life. But thankfully, you know, my kids saved me, and I have reason to live. And even if you don't have children, you have reason to live because you woke up today.
Yes.
That you have a reason to live because you opened your eyes and you were allowed to open your eyes today. So now it's just a matter of reaching out to someone, anyone. You can, my DMs are always open. This is no secret to anyone that follows me. No secret to anyone that follows KD. Reach out to someone, anyone. Ears are waiting to hear you. You know, people are waiting to help pull you out of the mud. The world needs you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the world right now. So we love you. Get help if you need help. Reach out to us if you need it. But again, salute to Dak Prescott. Thank you for, again, and again, and Randy Gregory as well, when it comes to the Cowboys. Thank you guys for putting this on Front Street, be it directly or indirectly. It's going to hopefully save some lives out there.
I 100% agree with everything that you said. It's very helpful to have people that are in the public eye to be able to speak out. We are Twitter popular, to a small degree, but nothing to the extent of what an NFL player is. When they speak, they can reach millions. And to be able to put yourself on Front Street and make yourself vulnerable.
Billions even.
Right, exactly. Yeah, really. And to be able to make yourself accessible to people and to let them see basically a piece of themselves in you, it goes a long way. It really does. I'm often shocked and humbled at sometimes when people just drop in the DMs and they just say, hey, something you said really made me think. It really helped me. Again, Pat, he clearly has had his DMs open for anybody dealing with any kind of mental struggle that they've reached out to him on that. If you don't feel like talking to one of us and you just want to talk to somebody, anybody, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number is 800-273-8255. I implore you, it doesn't have to be that number. It doesn't have to be us. Just find somebody with an ear and a shoulder for you that you can talk your way through whatever it is you're dealing. Not everybody is open to getting, you know, help as far as, you know, having a therapist or anything like that. I would strongly recommend you reconsider that if you're in need. If you're feeling like you don't have anybody to talk to, sometimes having a stranger to talk to is going to be the biggest thing that helps you in your life. But whatever the case may be, stranger, somebody you're familiar with, somebody that's just your associate, whatever the case may be, just find somebody that has an empathetic ear and try to talk out what it is that you're dealing with, because there are a lot more kind people in this world than we're given credit for.
And I'll punctuate the point here by saying, stop. And this is coming from some, again, a survivor of two suicide attempts, someone who battles depression, who has and continues to get clinical help as needed. I am no longer afraid to reach out and say, hey, I feel this way. I need to talk to someone. And it literally saves my life every single day. Stop staring at the mountain. If you're battling depression, you're battling anxiety, stop trying to move the mountain. All you have to do is move the pebble in front of you. And by that, I mean you take the first step. You'd be surprised how much easier it becomes after you have the first conversation. And I've had a myriad of very profound, humbling conversations in my DMs from those who are seeking help, who simply didn't know who to talk to, who they don't know how to approach or broach the topic with someone because they want to be seen as strong. They don't want to be seen as weak. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You can't be seen as strong laying in a casket somewhere. Get help, reach out to us, even if it's just to say, hey, no C, I'm feeling bad today. My response is, let's talk about that. I am open. I want to be a testimony and a blessing to others, as KD wants as well. But again, like he stated, if you're not comfortable reaching out to us, totally fine. Just reach out to someone. He gave you the number. Call it if need be. Slide in our DMs. Go to your local church. And you don't have to be a religious person to have a good conversation with the pastor. So there are tons That's of great. Avenues out there to take. Just take one. We beg and plead of you because you're wanted, you're needed, we love you, and we want to cheer on the Cowboys with you this season. Yes. We don't want you missing what's going on, right? You don't need to, you know, go leaving the world anytime soon, but especially not before the Cowboys get this 6-3.
I mean, you got to hang in there for that,
lady. You got to hang in there for that.
Got to. You've been through way too much. So that does turn us on a little lighthearted note again. We're changing our format here on Catch This Fade, and hopefully we've shown you the depth of where we're going to go with this show, not just this season, but moving forward through the off season and so on and so forth. We are not going to be your average podcast here. We Catch This Fade is meant to be a barbershop podcast, and as any man knows, when you go in the barbershop, you can get away with and say anything that you feel comfortable with, and that's basically what we're going to be doing here. So we're going to get the jokes off. I'm going to clown the shit out of Pat for being a Braves fan and, you know,
man,
winning the division.
Absolutely turn KD into a s'more for trying to do so. And that's why I'm glad he put on the white hat, because he's going to be a s'more. I'm going to melt that damn white all over that chocolate and put them between two damn graham crackers.
You don't understand. You don't understand the purity of championships. That's the problem here. You don't understand how only the purest of teams can get to rock the white like the Washington Nationals.
I hope the youngest KD touches that white with some hot sauce on his fingers.
Listen,
it'll never be the same.
If you are a subscriber, we are going to continue on with this dynamic show. If you're on the free episodes, this is going to be your loss. You're going to miss out on the rest of today's podcast. You're going to miss out on our Tuesday podcast, but you can fix all of that
and
by going to... Right, exactly. You're going to miss for a cup of coffee. $3 a month gets you in at the lowest tier. It gets you access to all of our full shows. Patreon.com/catchthisfade. Go subscribe right now.